On the phone now, we have Melanie Friend, who is celebrating the fact that she has an international premiere of Photographs on at here in Bradford. Good afternoon, Melanie.
Good afternoon. That sounds very, very posh, doesn't it?
It does sound very posh, doesn't it? An international premiere. I understand you're a bit poorly, so we won't push you too much, Melanie. We'll keep it simple. Yeah. It's all about the home front. It's all about looking back at the war years, and you're linking together military. I always find this a hard word to say. Militarism, marketing, and entertainment. So is it sort of looking at how we sold the war to people, and then how we used entertainment as a propaganda machine?
Uh-huh. Well, that's a very interesting way of putting it. I think what we're looking at is a kind of disconnect, this idea of war as entertainment. For us, say, at air shows, is very different for how, obviously, war is experienced in other countries. And one of the inspirations for the work was a four-year-old girl called Luada, a Kosovar girl who I photographed in a Macedonian refugee camp during the Kosovo War. And that summer, she was airlifted with her parents to the UK for a new life as a refugee. And soon after she arrived in Southport, where I believe she still lives, the Red Arrows screeched over the town.
Right.
And she was terrified. She thought she was back in a war zone. So that was one of the inspirations for the work, this strange, different context. That what is can be entertainment for some people is terrifying for others.
Yeah,
that got me thinking.
I mean, we have the entertainment industry. Well, the other one, film, really is the primary suspect for that, isn't it? Because it was, like I mentioned, I thought it was, you know, propaganda in the 40s when we had the Second World War. It was used to keep morale going, wasn't it? I was guessing that's what you might be looking to do, but it's more the other way, isn't it, that you're looking at then how this sort of instigates a little bit of fear in people.
Well, when I'm looking at air shows, you know, the whole project is really about air shows.
Right.
So I'm looking at spectatorship and how war can be a fantasy for people. I don't know if you've seen any of the images or if you've been to the show.
I haven't, no.
But there are some images where you see the body language of people as they're like yearning towards a plane. You know, there's a boy kind of yearning towards a Vulcan in the sky. Or there's a guy on a tank being photographed by his dad.
Mm.
And this idea is a sort of vicarious, trying to have some sort of experience of war, but it's very sanitized and it's very, very different to what war actually is.
Mm.
So, you know, quite a lot of the images are taken on beaches where you've got the beauty of the beach and people playing on the beaches, and then you've got this speck of a fighter jet kind of roaring across, although you can't hear it, of course, because it's a photograph.
Mm.
So it's about that disrupted pastoral or disrupted seascape as well. And about war as entertainment. You know, there's a lot of ways that air shows are promoted as a fun day out for the family. But, you know, some of it is quite scary, really.
Mm.
Well, there's lots for people to come down to at Impressions Gallery. Lots of food for thought there, Melanie.
Good. Yeah, it's a great gallery, and I'm really happy to be showing in Bradford. It's a fantastic space and, you know, a great city.
And how long is it on for?
It's on for about 10 weeks, I think.
Right,
it's just opened last Saturday. So it's on till the 23rd of November. And if anyone out there is listening and wants to come along to the actual reception, the kind of, you know, the fun bit, then that's at 3 o'clock on the 12th of October, Saturday the 12th of October. And I hope that people will find the images, you know, engaging. Some of them are quite humorous as well, and some of them are more serious, maybe, and more melancholy. You know, there's kind of a mix of work there, landscapes, people images, and also some work from arms fairs as well.
Well, brilliant. Well, Melanie Friend, artist and producer of this particular exhibition on there called The Home Front at Impressions Gallery. Thank you very much for talking with us this afternoon.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
And we'll encourage people to come along to the event. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for chatting with us.
Bye
for now.
Bye.
Tuned into Bradford. This is BCB 106.6 FM.
Well, now this week is the National Sexual Health Awareness Week, which is organised by the Family Planning Association. This year, the FPA is continuing its campaign, whose slogan is, "We can't go backwards." The campaign is geared to highlight the importance of free and easy to access sexual health services in the face of budget cuts. BCB's radio Will, radio produced... I beg your pardon. BCB's radio reporter Will spoke to the FPA's Director of Health and Wellbeing, Natika Halil, who started by telling us how the campaign began.
So Natika, firstly, who's behind this campaign?
It is a joint campaign with Brooke, the Young People's Sexual Health Charity. So it's a campaign that we've been running, that we started last year when we started to hear stories through our helpline about services, sexual health services being cut across the country, and restrictions were starting to be placed. So a woman would turn up at a clinic, for example, and she'd be told that it was closed or it wasn't suitable for her and she had to go somewhere else. And we hold the main clinic database, and what we found is that there were lots and lots of services closing, merging, and we were suddenly a bit, why is this happening? Why are people not able? They're going to their clinic and they're being told that they can't get contraception there anymore. So we did an analysis of that and we decided to launch a campaign.
So what do you think is behind the erosion of sexual health services? What's causing the cutback in these sexual health clinics?
I think because of the change of structure of the health service, there was the funding stream and the change of, so things moving to local authority, for example, contraception got moved to local authority as well. So as the budget wasn't ring-fenced, etc., the people were looking to make cuts, commissioners looking to make cuts where they can possibly make cuts. If you've got a budget where you have to have the road fixed or you have to do this, and it's a number of things, you've got to look at your priorities. So what we were really concerned about is the commissioners wouldn't see contraception as a priority. It's not as much on the agenda as before. So I think what this started to contribute to the cuts being made, and we started to make a noise about it.
So what is the XCS campaign doing to prevent this?
So what we've had done is a number of things. So we commissioned a report called Unprotected Nation, and this report looks at the cost analysis and the cost effects of cutting services. We use this report to target directors of public health and commissioners so that they could actually, it could be, you know, go onto their agenda and raise their awareness of what is going on. And looking at, if you cut, for example, for every investment you make into contraception, for every £1 spent, you save £12.50. So, you know, what we were trying to do is communicate to them to say, don't take any shortcuts, don't make cuts now, because actually it's going to sting you later on. So this analysis was received really well, and that's really put it on the agenda. The other thing we've done is anecdotally, so we've got our map on our website, www.wecan'tgobackwards.org.uk, and this map is across the country tracking people's experiences. So we've used that information as well to target commissioners, MPs, etc. So these are the actions that we've taken.
How has the response been towards this report and the other actions that you've taken?
The response has been, it's been really well received, and I think because the change of the health service is happening and things are settling more, I think, you know, it's been really good to influence and encourage the, you know, that spending cuts don't happen. So I think, you know, it's a 3-year campaign. We're looking at, you know, to ensure that people get the best service properly. And also, if you look at the map, we don't just have bad experiences, we have good experience. So what makes a good service as well? So actually, so we can use that as a bit of a quality mark, and we can say to people, this is a good service. So maybe you want to think about having this. Also encouraging people to know about their sexual health rights.
So do you think a lot of people are unaware of these services and the rights that they have within them?
Know they can get the service for free. I think we kind of, you know, we're quite lucky in that respect, in as much as, you know, contraception is free in this country. What people don't know is that they should get a good service as well. Their expectations are not as high, and sexual health is still a subject that people, it's private, it's very private, so people might not know what they can expect or what rights they have. So, you know, a lot of the information we've got on the awareness raising is about, you have every right to confidentiality, you have every right to be treated with respect, you have every right to have a choice of contraceptive methods. There are 15 different types. So these are the kind of information elements that we're trying to impart on people.
And finally, Natika, if you could just tell us, how can people support this campaign?
People can support this campaign by going onto our website, as we say, www.wecan'tgobackwards.org.uk, and leaving their their story and their experience. Even if that experience is good, we need that information, because what we want to do is we want to have a bit of a gold standard of clinical services as well. So if people, and in Bradford, for example, we don't have any we don't have anyone who's gone on the map as yet. So that would be brilliant.
So that was Natika Halil, Director of Health and Wellbeing at the FPA, telling us about the XES campaign and the importance of having access to high-standard sexual health services. Well, you're listening to Drive on 106.6 FM with myself, Fran Coldrick, and Mike McCabe. And now we are going over, as they say, for something completely different. We're going to be talking, following a successful national tour this spring, UK Touring Theatre bring their highly acclaimed production of Miss Julie by August Strindberg to the Square Chapel at Halifax for one night only on Saturday the 28th of September. And with us we have Felicity Rees, who is going to tell us a little bit about it. Good afternoon, Felicity.
Good afternoon.
Now, I believe you are star and producer, is that right?
Well, I'm playing the role of Miss Julie in the production, and I'm also one of the founders of UK Touring Theatre. So, yeah, I've got a bit of a dual role going on.
Great. Now, can it be accessible to the person, the audience today? Because it was written in 1874, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was written in the 19th century in Sweden in 1888. But this is a brand new translation. Actually, we translated the play last year as part of the Strindberg 2012 celebrations. It was the centenary of August Strindberg's death in 1912,
okay.
And that's why we decided to do our own brand new translation. We read a lot of different translations when we were thinking about doing the play, and a lot of translations tend to be reflective of the time in which they're written. So if you read a translation written in the 60s or 70s, it sometimes seems a bit stilted to today's audience. So we thought we'd do a brand new, fresh translation. The play is still set in 1888, so it's very much a period drama, but the language is hopefully a bit more accessible for a modern audience.
Okay, well, Mike here doesn't know much about the theatre. He does occasionally go. And I think he might like this because it's called Darkly Seductive, I've heard it called.
Yes, it's a great piece. A love story. There's a love triangle in the play. There's also a lot of drama. It's a battle of the sexes, a battle of the classes. So yeah, it's slightly raunchy in places. It was certainly considered raunchy at the time in Sweden when it was first put on in the 19th century, but maybe not as raunchy by today's society's today's standards. But it's definitely a gripping piece.
With that in mind, then, do you have to add to that side of things? If it was seen as raunchy 125 years ago, it might be seen as pretty tame today. Is that difficult for you, or do you think it's better to keep within the spirit of how it was written?
We've very much kept within the spirit of how it's written. I mean, there have been quite a lot of adaptations of Miss Julie over the years, and a lot of people update it, set it. There's a version called After Miss Julie set in the 40s, for example, and there have been other versions in the last year or so, modern versions, but we decided to keep it as close to the original as possible. I mean, it doesn't have the same shock value, the relationship doesn't have the same shock value for a modern audience, but it's very much a period piece. So it's basically about a relationship between an aristocratic lady, that's Miss Julie, and a servant, which is why it was so shocking at the time. And I think that's still very interesting for today's audience. We have a lot of people who like watching things such as Downton Abbey, and period dramas are very popular. So I think it's still just as interesting for a modern audience, even if it's not necessarily shocking. It's still a good piece.
And Torchwood was very popular, and I believe you acted in Torchwood.
Yes, I did, many years ago now. When Torchwood first started, I was in one of the first few episodes. I played a character called Bethan, which was a great experience. I mean, it's fantastic drama and great actors in it, etc. Yeah, I've done quite a bit of TV over the years. A lot of I'm originally from Wales, so I do quite a lot of Welsh TV. But I think my real love is the theatre, so it's great to be playing this classic role.
Well, I'm sure lots of members of the audience would love to come along and see you, and particularly see you in Miss Julie, which is taking place on Saturday the 28th of September over there at the Square Chapel and in Halifax. And, well, we wish the show every success. I believe it's already been very successful, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. We did a tour this spring, which toured to 13 venues across the UK, which was very successful. And as a result, it's kind of backed by popular demand, and we're doing another 16 venues this autumn. So our first performance of the second tour is next Friday, and then we'll be up in Halifax the next night for the Saturday performance at Square Chapel.
Brilliant. Well, Felicity Reese, star and producer of Miss Julie, which is going to be on Saturday the 28th of September at the Square Chapel in Halifax. Thank you very much for talking with us. I'm afraid we're coming up to the end of our second hour of Drive this afternoon, so we have to sort of say thank you very quickly, but maybe we can chat with you another time when you're up in this part of the world.
Lovely. Thank you so much for speaking to me.